heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to point out to you and look and concentrate on the last part of verse 14, where the Bible says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? We're going to see a video that we've showed before, but it'll be a good reminder. I believe in the main is accurate. The people of Islam are people who believe in having children. And they believe that the cause of Islam is greater cause than obtaining the American dream or the European dream, that is being successful. Now this video can be approached in one of two ways that I'd like to illustrate. One way is that we as the Army of the Lord, armed with the latest and best weapons, have crested a ridge in a country, and before us are wave after wave of Muslim soldiers approaching. We fire our guns, mowing down the row upon row, but they keep coming. The barrels of our rifles are so hot that we cannot touch them, but we're determined to fight on. We're determined to avoid Sharia law. We're determined not to be conquered. As American and as Baptists, we cry, let's army up. Let's get ready for war. Let's begin again the crusades of the days of the knights in shining armor. Or we could look at it another way. We, as the army of the Lord, crest the ridge and look down into a vast valley which our eyes cannot take in for its length and its breadth. And there in the valley is field upon field upon field of grain white unto harvest, representing the souls of men. We can fall on our face and cry out to the great Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers in the harvest. Then we can hear the Lord call ourselves, and we can go forth preaching the kingdom of heaven. If they're having 6.6 or whatever the figure was, their children, then let me tell you, that's a tremendous mission field. Are the Muslims the enemies of the cross of Christ? Absolutely. Do the Muslims hate Christians and kill Christians? Absolutely. Just like the Jews and the Romans did in the first century. Is it true that prophecy indicates that Russia, along with Iran and Iraq and other Muslim nations will come against Israel in the last day and that they'll be destroyed? Yes, I believe the Bible teaches that. But we are not living in the last days yet or the days of the tribulation, but we're in the church age, and the command to Plaquemine Baptist Church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have mentioned the Muslim world, but there is much, much more that can be said. A mission study group called the Joshua Project tells us that there are 6,900 unreached people groups in the world. A people group is a people that have similar culture and similar languages. There's a group of people group in Bangladesh called the Shaikh, I guess, S-H-A-I-K-H. It has a population in Bangladesh of this people group of 128,734,000. The country of Bangladesh, where this people group resides, there's not one Christian and there's no evangelical Christians. There's not even Catholic Christians. Let me ask you a question. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Russians in Russia, there's 115,408,000. There's a number of them that claim to be Christians, but only 1.2% are evangelical. Over 115 million and only 1%. One-tenth, 1% are evangelical. And now let me ask you a question. How are those people, over 115 million, how will they hear without a preacher? In Vietnam, we support a missionary in Vietnam. 76 million people in Vietnam and only 1% evangelical. How can 1% reach 76 million? How shall they hear without a preacher? The Brahmin in India are 57 million, almost 58 million. There's no evangelical Christians working in that group. We saw France here, and we mentioned that France was a Christian nation, but France is not a Christian nation. It's not evangelical Christian, at least. There's 0% evangelicals in France. There are Catholics and others there. But 57 million people in France, and how shall they, or 39 million people in France, and again, how shall they hear without a preacher? The same is true for Italy and Persia, which is Iran. There's only not even 1% evangelical Christians. Brother Noah is working in Lebanon. Among the Arab Lebanese, only 0.5% are evangelical. Among the Palestinian Arabs, less than 0.1% are evangelical. The Druze, the same, less than 0.01% are evangelical. The Alawite in Lebanon, there's no evangelicals working with them. The Kurds in Lebanon, there's only less than 0.01% of the people there are evangelical. And so what I was saying here, that there's not enough even among these countries for them to evangelize the country. Of the 6.7 billion people in the world, 2.7 billion live among the unreached people groups of the world. And 1.6 billion are completely unevangelized. 90% of foreign mission work among already reached people groups. 10% work among unreached people groups. Despite the command to evangelize that's been given from the first century, 67% of all humans from 30 AD to the present have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. In the last 40 years, over 1 billion people have died who have never heard of Jesus, and around 30 million people this year will perish without hearing the message of salvation. And let me ask you tonight, how will they hear without a preacher? Of foreign mission funding, 87% goes for the work among those already Christian, 12% for the work among already evangelized but non-Christian, but only 1% of the funding for foreign missionaries go to the unreached people groups. The average American gives only one penny a day to global missions. How shall they hear without a preacher. Let me ask you, where is the pool of humanity that God can reach down into and call a man to be one of the preachers to go to one of these areas? Where does he go? Where is the place? Where is the pool of humanity that God can call men? And we're particularly, I believe that this word preacher here not only refers to ordained men and called men like we see in Acts chapter 13, but it's to proclaim the gospel. But I'm particularly talking tonight more about called men. And where does God go to call preachers? Where does God go for the pool to be able to get men to go to unreached people groups? Perhaps someone might think that they'll be okay, that this 128 million in Bangladesh will be okay, that they have their religion, and after all, there are many ways to heaven. But let me say that the Bible teaches that every person born into this world is a lost sinner. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is a sinner. Their lives are condemned before God. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous. Romans 3:12 says, they've all gone out of their way. Romans 3:19 says, every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Mankind is at odds with God. Mankind has broken God's command. Mankind cannot scoot into heaven hoping for the best. But man is condemned. He has been tried and found guilty. His very nature is that of a sinner. He's condemned already. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. 2 Timothy tells us that God's will for mankind is that he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And if God wants all men to be saved, then the flip side of that is all men at one time were lost. The question itself concerning those who have never heard the gospel preached and have never heard Bible verses or even had a Bible to look at, the question often comes, well, possibly there's another way. But let me say to you tonight, that there's no other way to heaven. There's no other way for forgiveness of sin except through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 says, Jesus speaking himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through Jesus' work of redemption can a man be saved. 1 John tells us, and this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. 1 Timothy tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The only way for a mediator work to be done, the only way for us to be reconciled with God, is through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And so don't think tonight, because there's millions and billions of people that have their own religion, that they're okay. They're not okay. They're going to go out into a world lost and undone. How will they hear without a preacher? How can a just God condemn a people who've never heard? Well, they're not without knowledge. They have the light of creation, they have the light of the conscience, and the saving light of Jesus Christ will come to them. And so let's think again, get back to our original question, where is the pool? Where is this place? Where can God go tonight and find that preacher that can go and declare the gospel? How can they believe without a preacher? How can they hear? Faith cometh by hearing. Listen, faith comes by hearing. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Where is God going to go and find that preacher. Well, some of the most aggressive groups in this world as far as outreach are the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. They've been on many people's doors. Was God going to go to the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses to get His message out? These groups are very, very aggressive about their proselyting and their outreach ministries. I want you to go with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is in it is in the world." And so it tells us those that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh are of God. And those that do not are not of God, but they have the spirit of Antichrist. Now I want you to go back, and it becomes very plain what he's trying to say when you go back to John, the same John that wrote this. If you go back to John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, and look in verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." And so it tells us that this personality that has the name the Word is with God. And not only was He with God, but He is God. He was God, and He's the Creator. And then when you get down in verse 12, it has some very interesting things in relationship to our verse in 1 John. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God." In verse 14. "And the Word," that is this one that was with God and was is the Creator, "and the Word was made flesh." 1 John says those that believe that Jesus Christ came in flesh are of God. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What was John saying in 1 John? He's saying this: that those who do not believe that Jesus Christ, as God Himself, came to the earth, are not of God. Listen, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. The Mormons do not believe that Jesus is God. God cannot use them. That pool is polluted. Where is God going to find? What pool is He going to go to? What pool of humanity is God going to go to find the preacher? To find the one that's necessary for people to hear the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Perhaps one of the many Protestant groups or the large Catholic group. In this video, you just said that the Muslims just had recently, in the last 10 years, overtaken the Catholics. Catholics are everywhere. Perhaps God can go to the pool of Catholicism or the pool of Protestant groups and find some that can become His preacher. Let me read what the Catholics say about baptism. "By baptism, all sins are forgiven. Original sin and all personal sins, as well as all punishment for sin. In the Council of Trent in 1545 and reconfirmed in 1962, The Catholics said, "If anyone says that baptism is not necessary for salvation, let him be accursed." I have a problem with that. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9 says, "For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Catholics preach a false gospel. God is not going to use the Catholics to be His preachers to this world. They don't believe the Bible. That pool is polluted. What about the Lutherans? Article 9 of the Augsburg Confession says, concerning baptism, our churches teach that baptism is necessary for salvation and that God's grace is offered through baptism. Just as recent as 2001, a Lutheran certificate at a little girl's baptism said this, enclosed is my memento and certificate of baptism. And then it said in this, in baptism, full salvation has been given unto you. God has become your Father and you have become His child. Well, that's not true. Salvation is not in sprinkling of a baby or a child. Salvation is not a dunking of a baby. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God cannot use a Lutheran to be His preacher because they preach a false gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Anglican say baptism is a sign of regeneration and new birth whereby, as by an instrument they have received baptism rightly, are grafted into the church and the promises of forgiveness of sin. And so through baptism they become church members and they have forgiveness of sin. The Methodists say that it's a sign of grace and it quickens but also strengthens and confirms our faith in Him. And so baptism makes alive your faith. The World Council of Churches says through baptism, Christians are brought into union with Christ. Well, I want you to go over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, Paul, writing to this church that he gave no accommodation to because they were violating and they were hedging and were going backwards and saying that circumcision was necessary for salvation. And Paul gets right on it, right at the beginning. And he says in verse 8 of chapter 1, but though we, that is Paul or his entourage that went with him, young preachers, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, the gospel that Christ died for sin, He buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. He said, if we or an angel or any other preach unto you something that we didn't preach, He says, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. These Protestant groups and this Catholic groups, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and these other groups, let me say to you, not only is that pool polluted of humanity, but they're cursed. Their message sends people to hell. How will they hear without a preacher? So where is the pool of humanity that God can look to select the man who will take the message for those who've never heard it? Well, there are some assumptions that we can put forth. First of all, there is assumption. I don't know if assumption is a proper word, but there is the truth that God started an institution which He called His church. And He said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church continually. It's a continual action. He promised to that church when He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He promised to the churches and those that descended from that first church He started. When He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, not only did He talk about how that they can go into areas where even the gates of hell are strong and the influence of Satan is powerful, but also He's promising them perpetuity. Let me just say to you tonight something that Noah said when he was about half asleep coming from the airport. He said this, and it stuck with me, very powerful. The Bible says that that Satan is the king of Tyre. That's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that Satan has a seat upon the earth someplace. And through the ministry of Brother Easton and Brother Noah, there's a church in Tyre. The gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. But he promised the church perpetuity, which means continual. It's going to continue on. It's binding upon each and every Baptist church found in the lineage of the church Jesus founded to be actively involved in carrying out the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 tells us very clearly that our job is to preach the gospel to the world. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This is absolutely our responsibility. And thank God tonight that there are other churches that are sound and hold the truth. But if there wasn't and we were the only one, it's still our responsibility. And I want you to look over in Ephesians chapter 3:21. God is a God who said very definitely in the Old Testament, I will not share my glory with another. Not exactly word for word there, but he says that he was not going to share his glory. In Ephesians 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. If God is going to raise up a preacher to go, then we can assume that he's going to do it through a church. That he wants his glory to come to him through a New Testament church. He's going to raise up men from those churches. Now, where is that pool? I submit to you that you are the pool. Yes, there are other sound New Testament churches, but if there were not, we're the pool. I want you to grasp this, is that the world cannot hear without a preacher. And the pool of humanity from which God calls men are from churches just like ours. That implies some things. Number one, it implies that we must go where we can go. And we must be willing to send a substitute where we cannot go. In our workplace, we need to give out the gospel. In our home place, we need to give out the gospel. And where we can't go, and when God's not called us specifically to go, we can sure help send a substitute. It implies that we are to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Now sometimes I'm fearful that I preach on deaf ears and ho-hum, Pastor Humphrey's on his mission kick again. God's serious about reaching the world. He sent Jesus to die for us. He proved His love for us in sending Christ. Look at the person next to you. Look at him. What makes you think that God loves them more than He loves the little boy in Bangladesh? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. It implies that we ought to pray the Lord of the harvest. We saw the video. The numbers are staggering. It implies that we must go and we must send a substitute where we can't go. It implies that we ought to get on our face and ask God to call men to the ministry and ask God to raise up faithful men in North Pole that can work and serve. But it implies also that children would be desired by godly parents and those children be raised so that if God so chose they could be among those who God reaches down and calls. The greatest privilege that this church has ever had is to lay their hands upon men that they've sent forth to the mission field. We are in a war. And the army is very thin. And the pool for that army are you and I and our children. Listen, God needs soldiers. He needs those that will stand in the evil day. It implies that children be desired by godly parents, that he could be among those that he reached down. There has to be a pool. The commands of the Bible, as we've been studying in Genesis, God blessed them, the Bible says, after creation of Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl there and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. After the flood, and when Noah came off the ark, the Bible says in Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Listen, God has never rescinded those instructions. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, when you're gone, where's the next generation going to be? Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people, filled with care, headed who knows where. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? That means that your best friend, Ron Lambert, may have to go to the mission field. It means a young man I love like my son may need to go to the mission field. It means maybe your son will need to go to the mission field. Don't they deserve to hear the gospel? Years ago in England, there was a great apathy concerning the world. There was a great dominance of Calvinism in England. And when God got ready to save the world, then he would save the world. And the shoemaker, William Carey, just didn't buy that and burned in his heart. It burned in his heart to reach the world, particularly God was burdening him about India, that vast country where people were dying and going out in eternity constantly. He preached a message. A man in the church said, sit down, young man, when God chooses to convert the heathen, he'll do it without you. But the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? William couldn't get away from that. And the next year he went back and preached that great sermon. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. About the need to reach out. About the need to go to the regions beyond. And as he entered the preaching, he called upon a man to dismiss in prayer as we normally do. And someplace in the audience, a man could stand it no longer. And he jumped up and would not let the closing prayer be said. And he said, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? The Bible encourages the bearing of children. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. If Adam was first formed than Eve, and so he just gives the process of authority, not the value of a woman to a man, but the authority linkage. He said, well, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And though she's not going to be the leader, and she is underneath the authority of the husband, It says in verse 15, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. There's nothing greater for a young woman than to bear children and then see her children with faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here were some women who lost their husbands. They're widows. And what are they going to do with their life? In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, I will, therefore, that younger women marry and bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Not only has this world and Satan sold our young ladies a false bill of goods and saying, if you haven't got a career and you're not doing something to make something out of your life can be nothing. Not only is that a lie out of hell, but also it's cut down the pool. The pool of individuals from who God could call. Look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, let me show you here very clearly that the relationship in the home affects evangelism. The relationship in the home affects evangelism. In 1 Titus chapter 2, but speak the things which become a sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that's serious, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That when the home is messed up, when the home, the woman wants to be the career woman, she wants to wear the business suit, she wants to be the big money maker, and the home is all falling apart, the word of God is affected. It's blasphemed. And so simply, one of the things we've already said, we need to pray the Lord of harvest, but it also implies having children. The primary design, the primary design of sex in the Bible was procreation and not pleasure. It's a wonderful thing that it's pleasurable, but God created sex for procreation. It's not an accident that a wife's desire for intimacy in the act of marriage peaks at the very moment that she is the most fertile. God wants children. There's a lot said today about family planning, but let's not forget God opens the womb. And let's not forget that God said the fruit of the womb is His reward. The number of children for a family is between God and the members of that family. But for one, I question actions taken to prevent pregnancy just so we can have the American dream. Listen, God didn't save us to go for the American dream. But God saved us that we could be a testimony to the world. And our vision and our eyes need to be exactly where Abraham's was. Looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This world needs preachers. The pool is you and I and our children. Our vision should not be upon the better car. Listen, we only need an A to B car, a car that will go from point A to point B. Our vision should not be the mansion with the manicured lawn, but it should be the lifting up of our eyes and looking on the harvest field and being moved with compassion. The world cannot hear without a preacher. It implies that we must go where we're at and we must send a substitute. It implies that we ought to pray the Lord of the harvest. It implies that bodies will be needed to go, which means the bearing of children. It implies that we must, absolutely must, train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Notice again Romans chapter 10, where we began. In Romans chapter 10, we read verses 9 through 15, a few more than that, but we'll look at 9 through 15. And I want you to go backward with me here. We'll begin in verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Very few things are called beautiful in the Bible, but it's beautiful for the one who takes the gospel. And if you drop back a little further, it did ask our question. It says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be sent? We saw there in verse 15. That God needs to send, and churches need to send. They need to be sent. They need to be supported. But he says, how shall they call on him who do not believe? And how shall they believe in him who do not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So what we're seeing here, if they have a preacher, it implies that they will hear the preacher. And when they hear the preacher, it implies if you go backward up the page instead of down the page, it says they'll believe in him and who they've heard. And they'll call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so what it's saying is if they have a preacher, they're going to hear the word. Faith's going to come by hearing. They're going to believe the word. They're going to be saved. They're going to call upon the Lord. That the Bible tells us that in Revelation that someone from every kindred, nation, and tongue will be saved. But I point out to you that in this whole process, that they can hear the gospel, they'll believe the gospel, they'll call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. There's only one thing that can break this down. And that is when there's no one to preach the gospel. I'll leave you with one thought. How will they hear without a preacher? And what's your role in that? If God calls, will you surrender to go? Will you strive to raise your children in such a way, if the Lord delays his coming, that God could reach down in that pool there and call your son to go? Will you pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers? Will you lift up your eyes and turn them from that elusive, mesmerizing American dream and see instead a world of humanity going off into hell as the lemmings flee and fall off into the sea? Let me ask you something. What are your eyes on? What are you looking at? What are you grasping for? What are you devoting your life to? What's your goal? God's not against housing. God wants you to take care of your family. But God didn't save you just to build a house. God was so serious about this lost and dying world that he came in the flesh and died. William Carey, that great missionary that we spoke about, said to know the will of God, we need an open Bible and an open map. William Carey said, is not the commission of our Lord still binding upon us? Can we not do more than now we're doing? Cannot we do more than now that we're doing? Another man said, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we've received it. In our lifetime, wouldn't it be sad if we spent more time washing dishes or swatting flies or mowing the yard or watching television than praying and being involved in missions? You better bow your head tonight and thank God that you live in a place where you heard the gospel. And we need to bow our heads and ask God, what would you have me to do? I'm praying, God, call missionaries from our church. He'll call preachers. And I'm not going to give you the out to say there'll be some of those that we win and come later. I'm praying he calls you, and you, and you, and you. And if he does, great. If he doesn't, that's his business. But I'm telling you that we have one life to live. And let it not be like the old couple in the Tolstoy, who lived their life and died, and it said, in the end, it was as though they never lived. Listen, that little group that William Carey preached to, there was a number of Baptist preachers there, but it wasn't a big group. Baptists weren't that big in England. But William Carey started something that changed the world. But you see, it really wasn't William Carey, but was William Carey's God. And I simply want to say to you, if we'll get on the same page with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, God may do some amazing things, as great as it was in the days of William Carey. God wants to use you, and he wants to use our church. But we can go on living the life, wanting the American dream, and in the end, we'll get to see it all melt with fervent heat and amount to nothing. May God break our hearts for this world. May God use us. May somehow true revival stir in our heart. May somehow we make a difference. May God drive us to our knees. Send us forth into this great world of need. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about them doing it. It's about you doing it. It's about your heart being broken. It's about understanding that these people that Noah deals with are real people. To understand tonight that Hadi, a member of the church there and a result of our ministry of our missionary, is in prison, breaks my heart. But God knows where he's at. And God's closer to him than we could ever be. But we get into our little world, we can get isolated, and we can live in Alaska and do our deal. And without saying in a vulgar way, we can just let the world go to hell. This world so much just rocks us to sleep, doesn't it? It just rocks me to sleep. I go off from day to day, go to work, come back home, go to work, come back home, go to work, come back home, and it rocks you to sleep. And God says, awake out of your sleep! And get to work while it's still day. Father, tonight I seem so feeble, and when I look at, Lord, at the great numbers, and I look at the great need, even in the places where I live and move and exist, it seems like it's impossible. But I pray, Lord, that you might continue to work in our hearts, to continue to bring us to a place where when we look out on the multitudes, that we could actually be moved with compassion. And Lord, after you were moved, you sent people forth. Lord, I do pray that you would use Flacco Baptist Church, that you might call men to preach. I pray that you would make us greater evangelists in our own individual lives. I pray, Father, that you would open doors. I pray, Father, that specific countries and people groups could be opened unto us. We pray tonight, Lord, for the terrible, terrible need of the natives here in Alaska. We pray for the country of Lebanon and the Middle East and all the upheaval that's going on. Lord, I think tonight about when they will come against Israel and the vast majority of all of them will be destroyed. And Lord, I know that's your business, but Lord, how sad it is that they don't know you as their Savior. I just pray, Father, that somehow in this message that you might move in my heart to make me a greater servant of yours. And I pray, Father, that you wouldn't allow Black Road Baptist Church to just go through the motions, just play at religion, just have cultural Christianity. But Lord, may you not allow us to veer from the left or the right, not allow us to drift. Lord, you would have a short lease upon us. Lord, that you would yank us up and give us what we need as discipline whenever we drift from what your plan is. Lord, give us souls in this place. Again, call men to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to preach. And now the monkey's on your back, okay? You're dismissed.